వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ అవిఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యేషు సర్వదా సరస్వతి నమస్తుభ్యం వరదే కామరూపిణి విద్యారంభం కరిష్యామి సిద్ధిర్భవతు మే సదా సదాశివ సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం శ్రుతిస్మృతి పురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరల్లోక శంకరం శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః. అఖండం సచ్చిదానందం అవాంగ్మనసగోచరం ఆత్మానమఖిలాధారం ఆశ్రయే భీష్టసిద్ధయే అర్థతోప్యద్వయానందాన్ అతీతద్వైతభానతః గురునారాధ్య వేదాంత సారం వక్షే యథామతి. వి ఆర్ లుకింగ్ ఇన్ టు ఎ టెక్స్ట్ కాల్డ్ వేదాంత సార. టుడే ఈస్ ద సెకండ్ క్లాస్. Vedantasara is a prakarana grantha of Vedanta. We have seen the two Mangalacharanas for this text. And now the Acharya is defining the word Vedanta. In the second Mangalacharanam, he said Vedanta Saram Vakshye. I am going to explain the Vedanta Sara. Vedanta Sara means the essence of Vedanta. Then a question will naturally arise in the mind of a beginner for who this text is meant. What is Vedanta? You said essence of Vedanta. What is Vedanta? And in order to answer the question of that student, the Acharya is defining the word Vedanta. This is the methodology followed in this whole Vedanta Sara. First he will enumerate, he will tell a word, he will mention a word, and then naturally a question will arise in your mind. What is that? Then he will tell what is the meaning of that word. So, Vedanta is defined. This is a very popular definition of Vedanta, very oft quoted. You might have heard this even though you didn't know that it is written in Vedanta Sara. At least half of that you might have heard. Vedanto nama Upanishad Pramana. Yeah, we will read. Vedanto nama Upanishad Pramanam Tadupakarini శారీరక సూత్రాదీని చ. వాట్ ఈస్ వేదాంత? The Acharya says, Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam. Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam. Vedanta means Upanishad. Nama. Nama doesn't mean name here. Nama means is or means. Vedanta is equal to Upanishad. What is Vedanta? Upanishad. What is Upanishad? Vedanta. So the same thing is called by two names. Why it is called Vedanta? Because it is at the end of the Vedas. Vedasya avasana bhagaha. Antaha means the end, the last portion, the final, the end portion of Vedas is called Vedanta. Subject matter wise, the Vedas are divided into two portions. One is Veda Purva, the first portion of the Vedas, and Veda Anta, the second portion of the Vedas. The Veda Purva is called Karma Kanda because it deals with the rituals, karmas. The last portion of the Vedas is called Vedanta. It is purely a positional name. And this is also called Jnana Kanda. The last portion of Vedas is also called Jnana Kanda because it deals with Jnana, the knowledge of Brahman. And the last portion of Vedas, the Vedanta, is nothing but the Upanishads. At the end of almost every Veda, there is an Upanishad. If you take Shukla Yajurveda, at the end of the Shukla Yajurveda, there is the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In the beginning, there is all the karmas, and at the end, there is the Upanishad called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. If you take Krishna Yajurveda, in the beginning, all the karmas are told, and at the end, there is the Upanishad called Taittiriya Upanishad. That is how, at the end of the Veda, there are Upanishads. And these Upanishads form the Vedanta. And why it is called Upanishad? It is called Upanishad because it deals with the Brahma Vidya. In the Bhashyas, Shankaracharya derives the word Upanishad in various ways, and he shows that the original meaning, the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is Brahma Vidya. The primary meaning of the word Upanishad is Brahma Vidya. It is called Upanishad because it destroys the samsara. Brahma Vidya is called Upanishad because it destroys the samsara. So that is the primary meaning. But popularly, this text is called Upanishad. The text, like Ishavasya Upanishad, Kathopanishad, these texts are called Upanishad because the text contains Brahma Vidya. It is a popularly used meaning of Upanishad, even though the primary meaning of the Upanishad is Brahma Vidya. So, for all our practical purposes, the word Upanishad means the text which comes at the end of the Veda. The literature, the body of literature which is at the end of the Vedas, which is called Vedanta. And this Upanishad, these Upanishads are Pramanam. Upanishad Pramanam. The Upanishads are Pramana. Pramana is a means of knowledge. In our Shastra, there are 6 means of knowledge. 6 Pramanas are accepted. The first one is Pratyaksha or direct perception. We see an object, this book. How do we see? Direct perception. We know it by direct perception. Pratyaksha. The second pramana is Anumana. Anumana means inference. In the mountain, you see smoke and you can infer fire. You don't see the fire. You see the smoke. And seeing the smoke, you can infer the fire. This is inference or anumana. Third is upamana. Upamana means analogy. In the forest, there is an animal called Gavaya. And this person doesn't know what is Gavaya. Then he asks somebody, what is Gavaya? And this person cannot show the Gavaya, because Gavaya is not in front of him, it is in the forest. Then he tells, Gavaya is like cow, an animal like cow. And he goes to the forest. Just by knowing that Gavaya is an animal like cow. Go sadrishaha Gavayaha. And in the forest, he finds an animal similar to cow. And he concludes that this must be Gavaya. This is called Upamana. It's another means of knowledge. Technically, all these means of knowledge are discussed in some higher texts of Vedanta. I'm giving some superficial idea, that's all. So that you don't have curiosity, because it is written in the book, in the Ramakrishna Mission book, all these 6 pramanas are mentioned. So, upamana. One more is arthapatti, fourth. Arthapatti. Arthapatti can be translated as presumption or postulation. It is similar to inference, but it is different. I will give an example which is given traditionally in the text. There is a person called Devadatta. Devadatta doesn't eat during daytime. Doesn't eat anything during daytime. But day by day he is growing fatter and fatter. These are the two given informations. And then you can know that if he doesn't eat during daytime and he grows fatter in spite of that, he must be eating at night. Otherwise, it is not possible. Otherwise, eating at night, he cannot grow fatter without eating during daytime. This kind of arriving at a fact by saying otherwise it is not possible is called Arthapatti. Another is Anupalabdhi, fifth pramana, Anupalabdhi. Anupalabdhi is non-apprehension or non-availability. Non-apprehension. I can say that pot is not here. There is no pot on this table. How can I say? Because I don't see a pot. The non-availability of a pot here makes me know that there is no pot. The absence of pot, I know, because the pot is not seen. This is called non-apprehension. It is a means for knowing the absence of something. These are all technical. You need not worry much about it. It is not required to understand this text at least. So these are the five pramanas, and the sixth pramana is Shabda Pramana. And in Shabda Pramana, there are two types of Shabda Pramanas. What is Shabda Pramana? Words. Words are pramana. One is Laukika Shabda. Any word in the world is called Laukika Shabda. Any ordinary word. So many things I know by means of Laukika Shabda. What happened in 1970, if I have to know, I have to rely only on Shabda Pramana. Somebody has to tell me, or I have to read in the history book. What happened in 1947, before that, it is all Shabda Pramana. That is Laukika Shabda. Then comes another type of Shabda Pramana, Vaidika Shabda. Vaidika Shabda is nothing but the body of literature called the Vedas. And the Vedas are apaurusheya. They are not written by any human being. They came directly from the Ishvara. a lot of things we know only by means of the Vedas. For example, there is another birth, rebirth, is known by means of Vedas. That there is a Swarga is known by means of the Vedas. And the means for going to Swarga is also known by the Vedas. What is Dharma is also known by the Vedas. What will give me Punya and what will give me Papa? It is also Veda Pramana. Vedas are telling me. And therefore, for many things, all the religious things, to know the religious things, I have to rely on the Vedas only. So the Veda Purva, the first part of the Vedas, deal with the Dharma, the means for gaining Punya. And thereby, the result of Punya, whatever it is, maybe Swarga, maybe a better birth in hereafter, etc. And then comes the Veda Anta, Upanishad. And this Upanishad is the only Pramana to know Brahman. Brahman is not available to any other means of knowledge. All the five previous means of knowledge, I cannot know Brahman. Laukika Shabda, words of any ordinary person, I cannot know Brahman. In the Veda Purva Bhaga also, the Karma Kanda also, I cannot know Brahman. Brahman is known only by means of Vedanta Pramana, Upanishad Pramana. So, therefore, Upanishad is the Pramana. That is why we have to study. So, Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam. That is the primary meaning of the word Vedanta, Upanishad. Then, there are certain other texts written by other authors, human authors, which are necessary to understand the meaning of Upanishads. Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not Upanishad. It is not in the Vedas. It is written later by Vyasa. The words of Krishna are recorded by Vyasa. And it is not Upanishad. But at the same time, it is the essence of Upanishads, condensed and presented in a beautiful way. Sarvopanishado gavaha dogdha gopalanandanaha. All the Upanishads are the cows. And dogdha, the milkman, is Krishna, gopalanandanaha. Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat. What is the milk? Gita. Gita is the milk. Milked from all the Upanishad cows. Nothing but Upanishad. The essence of Upanishad. The teaching of Upanishads alone is presented in the form of Gita. And therefore, Gita becomes a very useful text to understand the teaching of Upanishad. And Brahma Sutra, Brahma Sutra written by Vyasa. It is also very, very important to understand the teaching of Upanishads. And then the Bhashyas written by Shankaracharya. Prasthanatraya Bhashya. The Bhashya on Gita, Upanishad and Brahma Sutra written by Shankaracharya. The author says, these works also are Vedanta. Not in its primary sense, but in its secondary sense. Primarily, Vedanta means Upanishad only, but secondarily, all the other works which are necessary to understand the Upanishads properly are also called Vedanta. Tadupakarini shariraka sutradini cha. Tadupakarini, that which helps in understanding Upanishad. Shariraka sutradini. Shariraka sutra. Shariraka sutra is a name for Brahma Sutra. Brahma Sutra is called Shariraka Sutra. Shariram eva sharirakam. Sharirake bhavaha sharirakaha. The word shariraka means one who resides in this body. And who resides in this body? The Atma. And the sutras are meant for understanding the essential nature of the Atma, Shariraka. And therefore it is called Shariraka Sutra. Shariraka Sutra, Adi is there. Adi means etc. Shariraka Sutra, Adi ni. Adi means etc. Includes Gita. Includes the Bhashyas. And so many other texts which are written later, they all come under the Vedanta. So this is the definition of Vedanta. Now, the author is introducing a technical word, Anubandha. Anubandha is the preliminary information of a text. The basic information of a text is called Anubandha. Svajnanam anu granthajyane badhnati pravartayati iti anubandhaha. That after knowing which one is impelled to study a work is called anubandha. In other words, after knowing which, after gaining which information, you can decide whether you have to pursue the text or not, is called Anubandha. The Anubandhas are four. Adhikari, Vishaya, Sambandha and Prayojana. Adhikari, Vishaya, Sambandha and Prayojana. Adhikari means the qualified student. The competent person to study the work is called Adhikari. Vishaya, subject matter. Sambandha, the relation. And Prayojana, the purpose, the result you gain. So these are the preliminary information which are required to, which should be known before you study a book. Only after knowing these things you can decide whether you have to attend the class or not. You have to know what is the prayojana. Any text, any book you are buying or any text you are studying, you have to know what is the prayojana, what is the result of this. A cookery book, all dishes are there. And what is the purpose of this book, you will ask. What is the subject matter, you should know. Who is Adhikari, who is competent to study this book, whether I can understand at least. Adhikari. And Sambandha. Sambandha means the connections, the relation between the book and the purpose. Or the book and the subject matter. It is called Sambandha. So these four things should be known before anybody studies a book. And therefore, in our tradition, the four Anubandhas are mentioned in the beginning of any book. Before writing a book, the four Anubandhas are to be mentioned. And in every text, every traditional text, you will find the Anubandha Chatushtaya. And not only so, in the tradition, when anybody has to write a new text, he has to establish that the text has all the four Anubandha Chatushtayas. All the four Anubandhas. By considering all the possible objections, the author has to discuss, analyze the Anubandha Chatushtayas, and he has to establish that the text I am going to write has all the four Anubandha Chatushtayas. This is what Shankaracharya does in the Bhashyas, especially in the Brahma Sutra Bhashya. The whole first Adhikarana of Brahma Sutra is establishing that the Vedanta has Anubandha Chatushtaya. The Purvapakshi will raise an objection that this text, Vedanta, you need not write because there is no purpose in that, no prayojana. Objection. No subject matter. The subject matter called Brahman itself is not there. Objection. Another. and there is no competent adhikar, these objections are raised and they are analyzed and they are answered, and it is established that all the four anubandhas are there. So like that, the anubandha chatushtaya is established before starting any work, before introducing any new subject. But here the author says that since this is a textbook, even though it is an independent text, it is not discussing an independent subject matter. The subject matter of this book is same as the subject matter of Vedanta. What is discussed in Gita, Upanishad and Brahma Sutra is discussed here also. And therefore, I need not establish the Anubandha Chatushtaya for this book separately, because that work is done already in the Vedanta text, in the Bhashya. Shankaracharya has done that already. And therefore, I need not analyze the Anubandha Chatushtayas and establish the Anubandha Chatushtaya separately for this book. We will read. Asya Vedanta Prakaranatvat Tadiyaihi Eva Anubandhaihi Tadvatta Siddhehe Nate Prathagalochaniyaha. Asya Vedanta Prakaranatvat. Asya, since this book is a Prakarana Grantha of Vedanta. This book is a Prakarana Grantha of Vedanta. And therefore, this book doesn't deal with an independent subject matter. The subject matter is same as that of Vedanta. The author is not starting a new subject matter. And therefore, tadiyaihi eva anubandhaihi tadvatta siddhehe. Tadiyaihi eva anubandhaihi. By the anubandha of the Vedanta itself. Tadiyaihi means that which belongs to the Vedanta text. Anubandhaihi. Tadvatta siddhehe. The anubandhas are established for this textbook also. Nate prithagalochaniyaha. And therefore, they need not be discussed separately. They need not be analyzed separately, because it is already established. Here, the author has just to tell what are the anubandhas. He need not establish that there is an adhikari. It's already established in the Vedanta text. And now the author is telling what are the four anubandhas. And the topic of anubandha chatushtaya has started now. And it will be discussed for a few pages. Tatra anubandho nama adhikari vishaya sambandha prayojanani. So tatra means there. Anubandho nama. Anubandha means, anubandhas are adhikari, vishaya, sambandha and prayojana. Adhikari, the competent student is called adhikari. Vishaya, the subject matter. Sambandha, the connection. What is the connection? It will be told later. Connection means the relationship between the text and the subject matter. Or it can be the subject matter and the result. Yeah. So now adhikari is explained. Adhikari to vidhivad adhita veda vedangatvena apatatodhikata akhila vedarthaha apatataha adhigata akhila vedarthaha asmin janmani janmantareva kamya nishiddha vardhanapurassaram nitya naimittika prayaschitta upasananushthanena nirgata nikhila kalmashataya nitanta nirmala svantaha sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha pramata. Who is an adhikari? Adhikari to, adhikari is, a lot of criterions are told. Vidhivad adhita veda vedangatvena. One who is an adhita veda vedanga. According to our tradition, any Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya is supposed to study his own Veda, Swashakha. Everyone has his own Shakha. And he is supposed to study the whole Swashakha. Suppose one's Veda is Taittiriya Shakha of Krishna Yajurveda. He is supposed to study the whole Taittiriya Upanishad, Taittiriya Shakha of Krishna Yajurveda. Not just the Upanishad, the whole Shakha. Taittiriya Samhita, Taittiriya Brahmana, everything he has to study. So, that kind of a person is expected. Adhita Veda Vedanga. Not only he has studied Veda, but he has studied Veda Anga also. There are six Angas for Veda. And the six Angas are Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakarana, Nirukta, Chandas and Jyotisha. Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakarana, Nirukta, Chandas and Jyotisha. These are the six Angas, and the six Angas are to be studied with the Vedas. So Veda, Vedanga, both he has studied, and therefore he is called Adhita Veda Vedanga. And he has not studied it by himself. How did he study? Vidhivat. In keeping with the tradition. Traditionally he has studied. Not that he bought the translation of Vedas and he read. That is not so. He didn't study by listening to the recordings. He studied traditionally from a guru, staying in a gurukula. After Upanayana, they are sent to the gurukula, and in the gurukula, they are taught the whole Veda. And that is how he studied. So, vidhivat adhita veda vedangatvena, and by means of studying the Veda and Vedanga, apatataha adhigata akhila vedarthaha. He has understood the meaning of the whole Vedas superficially. Adhigata akhila vedarthaha. One who has adhigata, one who has learnt akhila vedarthaha, the meaning, Veda artha, the meaning of the Veda, meaning of akhila Veda, entire Veda, he has learnt. Apatataha, apatataha means superficially. He has not yet gained the in-depth knowledge. In-depth knowledge will come only after Shravana. This Adhikari is not yet, he has not yet done the Shravana. Vedanta Shravana he has not done. We are discussing about a person who is ready for Shravana, who is competent to do Shravana. And therefore, he has learnt the, he has understood the meaning of the Vedas superficially. Apatataha. This is called apata jnana, a superficial knowledge. A superficial knowledge is necessary even before you do Shravana, because only when you have a superficial knowledge, you will know that there is such a pursuit. And you will be interested in that pursuit. By superficial knowledge, he has come to know that there is something called Brahman. That much he knows. He doesn't know what is Brahman. He knows there is something called Brahman. And that Brahman, if you know that Brahman, you will get moksha. And moksha is a purushartha. Moksha is the greatest pursuit. That much he has understood. And then only he will be interested in the pursuit of Vedanta. Like for example, if you have to enter a medical college, you should have some minimum information about what is medicine, what you are going to do in the medical college. You have to cut the bodies. That much you should know. And some people, they try out whether they can withstand the sight of blood. And only when they are ready for that, and they are interested in that pursuit, they will get into medical college. If you enter the medical college without knowing anything, after some time you will find, oh, it is very difficult, I can't cut the bodies. So, a superficial understanding of what you are going to do is important. And that is why, apatataha adhigata akhila vedarthaha. He has understood. He knows superficially what Vedanta means, what is told in the Vedanta. And that generates interest in him. Knowing the subject matter and the result requires apata jnana. So, apatataha adhigata akhila vedarthaha. Then we will go to the last one, last but second. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. One who is endowed with sadhana chatushtaya. One What is sadhana chatushtaya will be told later. One who is endowed with sadhana chatushtaya. And how does she get the sadhana chatushtaya? Nitanta nirmala swantaha. Swantaha. Swanta means antahkarana, mind. One whose mind is nirmala. Nirmala means pure. Nitanta nirmala. Nitanta means very much. Intensely pure. Very much pure. A little purity is not enough. He needs a great purity of mind. Therefore, nitanta nirmala swantaha. And only when you have a good amount of purity of mind, you will have sadhana chatushtaya to a great degree. Nitanta nirmala swantaha. And how did he become nitanta nirmala swantaha? Nirgata nikhila kalmashataya. Kalmasha means the impurities of mind. And the impurities of mind are of twofold. One is mala, another is vikshepa. Mala means kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada and matsarya. Kama, desire, krodha, anger, lobha, greed, moha, delusion, mada, arrogance and matsarya, envy. These are the malas, the impurities of mind. And vikshepa. Vikshepa means extrovertedness. So mala and vikshepa are the impurities of mind called kalmasha. And for this adhikari, nirgata nikhila kalmashataya. Nikhila kalmasha, all the kalmashas are nirgata, are removed. All the kalmashas have gone. And because he is nirgata nikhila kalmasha, he is nitanta nirmala swantaha. His mind is very pure. Mind is pure because all the kalmashas, all the impurities are removed. And how did he remove the impurities of mind? The impurities of mind are removed by means of karma yoga. Chitta shuddhi is accomplished by means of karma yoga. And the karma yoga is told, kamya nishiddha varjana purasaram nitya naimittika prayaschitta upasana anushthanena. That portion is talking of karma yoga. And he has done karma yoga. Adhikari has done karma yoga. And thereby he has acquired chitta shuddhi. So what is karma yoga? The traditional karma yoga is told here. Nitya kamya nishiddha varjana purasaram. There are 6 types of karmas which will be told later. The 6 types of karmas are kamya karma. Kamya karma means any karma done with a desire in view, with a desire in mind. Like you want to go to swarga, and therefore you do a karma. It is called kamya karma. Or you want to earn money. You want material prosperity, and for that you do a karma. It is called kamya karma. Karma done with desire is called kamya karma. Nishiddha karma is the second karma. Nishiddha karma means forbidden karmas. Nitya karma. Nitya karma means the obligatory karmas. Naimittika karma. Occasional karmas. Prayaschitta karma. Expiatory karmas. Prayaschitta. And upasana. Upasana means manasa karma. So like that, six types of karmas are there. Kamya, Nishiddha, Nitya, Naimittika, Prayaschitta and Upasana. Six karmas. And among six karmas, a karma yogi is supposed to give up two karmas. What are the two karmas? Kamya karma and Nishiddha karma. He should give up. And other four types of karmas he should do. Nitya, Naimittika, Prayaschitta and Upasana. These four karmas a karma yogi is supposed to do. And by doing so, he will get Chitta Shuddhi. So that is told here. Kamya Nishiddha Varjana Purasaram. By giving up Kamya and Nishiddha. By avoiding Kamya and Nishiddha. Kamya Karma and Nishiddha Karma. He has done what? Nitya, Naimittika, Prayaschitta, Upasana Anushthanena. By performing Anushthanena. By performing Nitya, Naimittika, Prayaschitta and Upasana. All these karmas we will see what it means. Later it will be told. So by performing these four types of karmas, he has accomplished Chitta Shuddhi. Nitanta Nirmala Swantaha. So what we understand, he has accomplished Sadhana Chatushtaya, and that is because of purification of mind, and the purification of mind is by removing the impurities of mind, and the impurities of mind are removed by performing karma yoga. Karma yoga is giving up the two types of karmas and performing the other four types of karmas. And now some people may not have done these karmas. Right from childhood, they got inclination towards Vedanta. And many of us have not done the study of Vedas. We have not studied the Vedas. Are we eligible or not? For that, the Acharya says, all these things you need not have done in this Janma only. It can be in the previous Janma also. So he says, Asmin Janmani Janmantareva. Either in this Janma you have done all these karmas, or you might have done in the previous Janmas. Asmin Janmani means in this Janma, or Janmantareva, or in the previous Janmas. Some people may do the karma yoga in this Janma and get Chitta Shuddhi. And after getting Chitta Shuddhi, they will go for Vedanta. But some people may be there who have performed all these karmas in the previous janmas, and thereby they have acquired enough Chitta Shuddhi. And such people need not do Karma Yoga here. They can enter to Jnana Yoga directly. So, Asmin Janmani Janmantareva. So, somehow, the final thing is, he should get purity of mind and he should have Sadhana Chatushtaya. That kind of a pramata, one more is there, pramata. Pramata means one who operates the pramana is called pramata. Pramana is the means of knowledge. And one who operates the means of knowledge is called pramata. And here, the means of knowledge happens to be the Vedanta Shastra. And therefore, the Adhikari should be ready to operate, to employ the Vedanta Shastra as the means of knowledge. The readiness to pursue Vedanta Shastra is also a criterion for being an adhikari. Some people may say, I want moksha, but I am not ready to study Vedanta. He is not an adhikari. An adhikari should be ready to study also. In other words, an adhikari has to be a jignasu. Adhikari should be the one who should have a desire to know the truth. So that is why he is pramata, is told. So that kind of an adhikari is competent to study Vedanta. And in this paragraph, it's not a paragraph, it's a sentence. In this sentence, a lot of words are used, new words are used, which a beginner may not be knowing the meaning, and that is why it will be told. The meanings of whatever is used here will be defined later. We will see in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.